Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome everybody to another episode of Dr. Matt and Dr. Mike's A to Z of the human body. Today, our term, very interesting term, another alpha here, alpha motor neuron. Is that right?
That's the one.
Oh, okay, Matt, what are we going to talk
about? What do you know about it, Michael?
I know that when we look at neurons, we can have sensory neurons or we can have motor neurons. Well, you can also have interneurons, and I'm sure there's others, but predominantly sensory neurons are afferent. They go from an organ or structure towards the central nervous system to transmit information about the environment, whether it be external or internal. And motor neurons are efferent, so they shoot out and away from the central nervous system, whether that be the brain or the spinal cord, to tell something to do something, whether it be a muscle to contract or a endocrine tissue to release a hormone.
Yep.
Whatever it may be. That's predominantly the two, right?
Yeah, so today when we refer to alpha motor,
yeah,
we're referring just to skeletal muscle.
Okay, so alpha motor neurons don't innervate glands.
No.
They innervate skeletal muscle.
Yep.
And this is the muscle that's attached to a skeleton,
yep,
for conscious movement. And we know that I want to tell my right biceps to contract, that piece of information will initiate in my frontal lobe,
mm-hmm,
in the motor cortex,
mm-hmm,
and it will travel down an upper motor neuron, which goes all the way down to my spinal cord at around about the level it wants to exit, and it will then synapse or speak to a second or lower motor neuron,
yep,
which will exit the spinal cord, which will innervate the muscle fiber or fibers
That's
itself
right.
to tell it to contract.
Brilliant.
And so the alpha motor neuron is that lower fiber, that
That's
lower
right.
motor neuron.
Yep. Exactly right.
Thanks, everyone.
So as you said correctly, when we talk about the motor neurons of the body, they are broken into an upper and lower.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's forget the upper for today.
Of course.
And focus on the lower.
Yeah.
Now, these are located in the brainstem or spinal cord.
Brainstem for cranial motor nerves.
That's right.
Yeah, and spinal cord for everything else.
That's right. In the spinal cord, because your example today is the right biceps,
yeah.
So that will be
they're my strong one. That's my
the right one's stronger than the left.
Yeah.
Okay.
All my right one's stronger than both of yours.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
It's going to be located. What is it? C5T1.
Yep.
So it's going out into the brachial plexus region.
That's right.
Okay. Now, in the anterior horn or the ventral horn of the spinal cord, that's where these lower motor neurons are going to be located.
Okay.
Okay, so that's where their cell bodies are, and then they stretch a big long axon all the way out to your muscle fibers.
That's a long
of your muscle.
Yeah.
Now, you could classify the lower motor neuron into a couple, like you could call it an alpha, beta, gamma.
Okay.
Okay. Beta's not as well known, so I'm going to drop that for today.
Sure.
But we're going to focus on, obviously, because of today's topics, it's alpha, but I'll also mention gamma.
Yep.
Now, the way that the alpha is going to go out into your muscle, it's going to innervate the contractile units of your muscle, which is called the extrafusal components of your skeletal muscle of your bicep.
So this is a muscle cell?
Yes. So a collection of muscle cells, which are generally termed muscle fibers.
Well, so is it a muscle fiber, a single cell?
Yes, that's right.
But you just said a collection of cells is a muscle fiber.
Oh, sorry. I meant the bicep is going to be made up of a huge amount of muscle fibers, which are muscle cells.
Yes, they're synonymous, right? Yeah. Fibers and cells. Cool.
So the alpha motor neuron will go to these muscle cells to contract them, and they'll tell them to stimulate them, cause a depolarization in the membrane of the skeletal muscle, and then the calcium will be released, then we get the actin-myosin cross-bridging, and then the muscle contracts.
Yes. I've done a great video on that, by the way. If you want to go on my YouTube channel and type in muscle contraction, Dr. Mike, you'll see me, you'll actually see me, dear listener, talk about exactly how a lower motor neuron can fire off into the muscle to depolarize it and tell the actin and myosin cross bridge.
Is that you on the bike?
But I do have a mustache, so that's okay. Important.
Now, because the body needs to have information about what the muscle is doing, it's also got some motor fibers that are going to the sensory part, which we call the muscle spindle of the muscle. So these are the intrafusal fibers. So it's almost like these are the sensory organ of the muscle.
Intrafusal.
It needs to know what the muscle is doing. How hard is it contracting? What its length is? How much tone it has, et cetera, et cetera.
So this is part of the gamma.
This is the gamma one. Yeah. So the gamma has to regulate the spindle to be the same length as the actual muscle. It can't be floppy while the muscle is contracting, because it wouldn't be able to tell the body. It's contracted, or the length or the tone of it or whatever.
Oh, so you're saying that the body has very little ability to be able to determine how contracted a muscle is without the spindles.
That's right.
So
it's got the Golgi organ, which is going to be at the ends of the muscle, so the tendons and so forth.
So that would tell how much stretch is occurring when the contraction occurs. But the spindles itself are very important about the tone.
That's right. And so they have to be at the same tautness.
Is that a term? No, I like it though.
Okay. As the actual extrafusal, which is the rest of the muscle that's doing the contraction. So as the alpha neurons are firing to contract your muscle, the gamma fibers are also firing to keep the spindle at the same length as your bulk of your biceps.
Yes.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let me know if this is right or wrong. So as the listener probably is aware, we take it in turns who prepares each topic and we don't know what the other person's doing until we sit down and Matt goes, these are my topics, these are your topics.
In that tone too.
Oh yeah, come on, hurry up. I've got things to do. So the lower motor neurons, I find this interesting. If we think about, now you're probably going to talk about lower motor neuron disease as a disease state, is that correct?
We could do that, yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't something that you...
No, did you say lower motor neuron disease?
Lower motor neuron, yeah. Or injury, right? So lower motor neuron disease could be a damage to the lower motor neuron. It could be like a spinal cord injury that only affects the lower motor neuron. Am I right in saying that the lower motor neuron is constantly wanting to fire off and tell the muscle or tissue that it's... because it's an alpha... motor neuron we're talking about here, wants to tell the skeletal muscle to constantly fire, and the role of the upper motor neuron is to simply modulate and tell it to Yes or no?
Outside activation.
Outside of, yes. Yeah. So without my cerebral cortex saying fire off the biceps, without that and without the upper motor neuron having its inhibitory role, will the lower motor neuron basically just want to fire off all the time?
Maybe not fire off, but maybe send in certain signals that may be causing like, what do you call?
Like short
fibrillations.
Circuit. Yes. Because the reason why I say this
and I think that's important with when a neuron is regenerating and the lower motor neuron. So there is a disruption in that signal and then it's reconnecting. Then you can get fibrillations within the muscle as the connection's improving or repairing.
The reason why I ask is because symptomology. Yes. That if somebody has a lower motor neuron injury, so damage only to the lower motor neuron, and let's say it's the motor neuron that tells my biceps to contract.
So you could get that from a laceration in your brachial plexus.
Okay. So let's say that happens, that I could get complete flaccidity of the muscle that it innervates. Because at the end of the day, it's that lower motor neuron that tells that muscle to contract. No matter
how... That would be the muscular cutaneous nerve.
Yes. Well, if you like. So no matter how much my cerebral cortex is saying contract biceps, no matter how much the upper motor neuron is firing off, with that damaged lower motor neuron, you get flaccidity and you also get an atrophy of that muscle, because the lower motor neuron and the alpha motor neuron will release growth factors as well.
And also a lack of reflex.
And a lack of reflex, very important.
So if I did a bicipital reflex, so I tapped a tendon hammer on your tendon of your bicep.
To stretch it.
It wouldn't really do much.
Yes, because the reflexive contraction that usually occurs won't happen because the lower motor neuron can't fire. Mm. All right, let's compare that with an upper motor neuron injury. So the upper motor neuron, that would be then talking to that lower motor neuron that goes to my biceps. If the upper is damaged, let's just say neck injury. Let's just say it's just damage.
A stroke.
Stroke, okay. Because now the lower motor neuron is intact, it will fire off willy-nilly and can lead to, like you were saying, fasciculations. So this just tells the muscle to fire off in a strange sort of patterned way. You can get this tonic-clonic sort of contraction that occurs. You'll still have an intact reflex.
Yeah, you'd actually get hyperreflexia.
Hyperreflexia, because, again, you don't have the upper motor neuron sort of modulating
to inhibit it.
And the muscle, while it will still atrophy, it won't atrophy as quickly as a lower motor. Are all those things correct from your perspective?
Yeah.
Because I find that interesting, particularly when people have spinal cord injury. They can have contraction of the muscle even though they've got a spinal cord injury. And that is an indication that the lower motor neuron is still intact, right? It's just the upper motor neuron doesn't have its modulatory effect because it's the one that's damaged.
Yeah, and they may have intact local reflexes.
Yes.
Because the injury is higher up. So you can't get the upper motor neuron connection or even the sensory connection, so you can't perceive it, but you can still have the local reflexes governing the motor but also the sensory.
Which I think is one of the reasons why they do the electrical stimulation for people with spinal cord injury, because if you've still got an intact lower motor neuron and you're sending electrical signals down it, you can still sort of maintain some degree of strength and utility of that muscle. While you may not be able to consciously control it, you can still maintain some degree of size, strength, and so forth.
Coordination even.
Coordination, however, because any afferent signal going up would also be damaged. I was just going to talk about intact intrafusal spindles, Golgi. So proprioception would be gone as well because you wouldn't have the ascending signal reaching the
cerebellum. I think, but you're still going to have, like with the Golgi, you're still going to have the reflex, the gross reflex coordination.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be as highly manipulated as a fully intact system.
Yes. Yeah, you don't have that conscious control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of conditions, you could go, well, we've already given examples, but another one would be polio. So right. Polio.
Was it a lower motor neuron disease?
Yeah, so it affected the anterior cells within the spinal cord. And then that would...
At the horn itself?
Yeah.
Oh, the disease was at the horn?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then that would cause a flaccidity, so the muscles in the area that's impacted by that virus would be influenced by that, whatever's been innervated by that region.
Hence why if some poor kids had polio and it affected their phrenic nerve, for example.
Yeah, so then that can worsen. So that could be, the polio could be from relatively minor to paralytic polio, which is more severe, and, you know, common outcomes would be lower leg. So they would have gait abnormalities, but if it was to go further up the cord and start to impact, like you said, the breathing muscles or even the phrenic, then that could lead to quite serious complications, and this is where they would have had the iron lung.
Yes. As,
so that would induce, I think, negative pressure and improve their ability to breathe.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that was just done in exacerbations or if it was done relatively long-term until they partly resolved, but I don't think it, I think once you've got the paralysis, it's kind of there to stay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how long people were in the iron lung for.
I don't think it was forever. As in like their life, but I think it was for extended periods.
Oh, boy.
And that was
a
wonderful breakthrough with the vaccine for polio.
Yeah. So, everyone, get vaccinated. Get vaccinated. So, Matthew, alpha.
That's the alpha.
That was good. I think that was good. Lower motor neuron.
If you've got any information on the beta, I couldn't really find a huge amount on it.
No, but still intrafusal, but in what way is it different to gamma is the question. And do we even possess them? And do you? I mean, it seems like by looking at you, you've got very few lower motor neurons. So, yes.
Compliment. Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
And that is alpha motor neuron.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.